And Debris, experts in business, leadership, and lifestyle.
Skilling you softly to a successful you. Emotions are your value, and your value is your business. UK Health Radio.
Boom, we are in and we are up and running on happy days. Welcome to UK Health Radio. Yes, I am banging into your eardrums. We are hitting the airwaves and we are sending out health, wealth and happiness through what is our extensive, exaggerated show of brilliance. Yes, I said it. Exaggerated show of brilliance. It's everything in between. Listen in the cracks and you will find extensiveness in your thought. Is that even a word? Dan, it's in there anyway. So yes, I'm Paul Rees and I'm here with you for the next 50 odd minutes, but with me today is my partner in crime, my wife, my backbone, and all the stuff that kind of makes me who I am. Yes, for the last 20 years, it's the one and only Deborah Shinnett Rees.
Hello.
Happy days.
Do you know, I had a thought then that we're just yin and yang. You know what I mean? You're like, raw into the microphone. I just go, hello. I mean, that just sums us up, really, doesn't it?
You know. I mean, here we are, and it's now coming into sort of mid-December. Everybody's kind of winding down or winding up, whatever it is you want to say it is, you know. And, you know, I'm finding, and I did find, listeners, that the business world is shutting down earlier every year. I mean, man, I am trying to keep my clients motivated and get people to reach the deadlines they promised in November and December. They said, well, I don't know, maybe it's a new year. I mean, come on. We still got a couple of weeks yet. I always say, power your December and your Jan is so much easier. In everything. You know, everybody's going on about, you know, Christmas shopping. We haven't even shopped yet, Deb.
No.
Man, will we have the money too? Hey, who knows? Actually, I don't really care. I tell you what I do like. I like a stocking. Not a lot to wear.
Really?
But a Santa stocking. Do you know what I mean? Where you can fill it full. I like those kind of knick-knack presents. Knick-knack, paddy-whack, give a dog a moan. I love knick-knack presents.
Yes, you do. And also you like main presents and more main presents. I have a bit of a main present. You start, I think, in November saying, oh, we'll get this for Christmas. Then you get it. Then we forget that it was for Christmas. And then there's another one. And yes, I've cottoned on to you pretty sharply.
But I think, I mean, you know, here's the thing is, everybody is, or should I say, when we come to this part of the year, and I'm not just talking about the holiday part, but you know, there's an energy of finishing a year and there's an energy of going into a new year. Depending, of course, the Chinese New Year is a different time of year.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean? But there's that calendar shift, I think.
Do you know what it is for me? It's almost as if there's this wind down, like you just said. There's no way I'm winding up. I am so tired, you know, and I'm looking at the days thinking, right, there's like 11 more days. I can do it. You know, it's like that. And then you have the Christmas and then it's all, you know, yes. And you get into that mood where, you know, you eat chocolate for breakfast and all of this kind of stuff. And then it's gloomy going into the new year for me. I'm depressed. I've drank too much. I've ate too much. I'm not springboarding into nothing. I'm like, damn it. Now I have to be a grown up again.
I mean, I love the transition. I love the calendar transition from December into January. For me, it does. It brings some sort of shift in energy for me.
It does, eh?
Yeah. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm like a kind of jack in a box, but I do love that mindset of shifting from December into Jan.
I wish I did. I really don't. I have to be honest. I just get depressed about it.
That's weird.
Yeah, maybe it's, you know, all the things I'm diagnosed with that gives me chronic fatigue. That might have something to do with it. But, you know, it is, it's not, January is not my favourite time of year.
Wow. Well, let's look at this. Let's think about this, listeners, you know. Let's not talk about New Year's resolutions, because do you know what? They for me are a weird concept of an empty promise.
Well, you just end up letting yourself down most of the time and just feeling bad about yourself.
Yeah, well, maybe. I mean, listen, we're only 5 minutes, 15 seconds in, and we've totally gloomed.
No, I have. You wanted a springy board, and, you know, I totally gloomed it.
It's like, let's change this. Do you
but
know
I'm
mean?
Just being honest, you know, and I do think a lot of people feel the same, because you're rushing around all Christmas, and then, you know, once you just start to, you know, feel a bit like you're relaxing, boom, off you go again. It's the new year. But, you know, I get you, and it shouldn't be like that, and it should be, you know, looking forward to the new year. Many people, many people in this world won't start the new year.
Wow, Deb.
And we get to. No, yeah. I'm putting a positive thing on that. Okay. We get to do that. So we should be, you know, I should be very thankful that, you know, I'm coming into the new year.
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
But also I think that, you know, New Year's resolution, you said not, you know, let's not talk about it in the old way. But let's not talk about New Year's resolutions at all. But it might be nice for us to promise ourselves what we're going to be.
I love that. But if we are to promise ourselves what we're going to be, and think about this, listeners. What did this year get out of you? Not what you got out of it. What did this year get out of you? How did you be this year? It's like when you read a book, what did the book get out of you? Not what you got out of the book. So what did this year get out of you? What did life get out of you this year? What did you present into the awareness of everybody else's life from yourself? How did they grow from you? How did you grow from recognizing yourself? Do you know what I mean? And then think about that part of the years. How much of this year was... A percentage of the year was, I don't know, addicted to generosity, and how much of it was the genuine you being you? How much of, you know, when you think about the measure of 2024, could you put a percentage out of, let's say, 100%? How much of a percentage of that is taking you into 25 that adds value to your 25 before you step into it?
Well, I think you'd have to sit down and write that out and work it out and look back and reflect. You know, and then, and you know, answer those questions one by one to get a picture of all the questions you've just asked there.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people go day to day, day to day, day to day, and then they only look back a little bit, and then they keep going day to day. You know, there's not a lot of reflecting that people do. And I'm guilty of that. I don't do a lot of reflecting. I just keep going, keep going, keep going, you know. But it's so important to look back and think, right, where did I grow? How did people grow because of me? You know, because growth is the main reason for everything.
But is reflecting, is that word strong enough?
No.
You think, look back and reflect. That's that kind of a haze to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not strong enough, is it? It's like, oh, it's like somebody sitting in a chair and just, you know, having a stare for 5 minutes about what happened.
Yeah, exactly. For me, it's if I look back and think, what did 2024 get out of me? I want to look at, you know, the immediate 30 people around me. If I think about the 30 people around me, they could be 30 clients. You know, I'm not talking about family now, but those 30 clients, those 30 acquaintances, those 30 people that, you know, I'm in collaborations with. What did they get out of me for my investment into that to offer, you know, a success? I don't just mean financially, but emotionally. It's like, you know, I've come in out of this year being part of the UVida. And the UVida project for me is probably the most philanthropic opportunity I've had to partnership up in. And when I think about that, I'm seeing that what I'm taking into 25 is now a whole different shape to what my invoicing was. My invoicing in 24 and all the years back was all about, you know, bringing money in for our life and so on. It was a very singular business. But now I'm going to 25, and what I'm realizing is that the business that I've collaborated to, and I'll say this again, UVida, is such a powerful online coaching platform, but it's completely designed around the philanthropic approach, which means that I'm going to 25 and I've just extended massively my range of what life is getting out of me.
Yeah,
and this is probably for the first time ever.
Yes.
In all the things I've done. Mm-hmm. It's not just, you know.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's really lovely. It really is. And, you know, sometimes, Paul, it's the journey to get to that. You can't wake up at the beginning of a business journey and have that, because you need to have all the growth in between that you needed to get from point A to point B, so it arrives at the right time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And isn't that brilliant? Isn't that a lovely, wonderful feeling that, you know, 2025, because of the growth that you've had and where you've ended up, 2025 is going to be for the betterment not only of yourself, but a lot of other people because of you.
I mean, think about it, listeners. Think about the word philanthropic. Now, philanthropic has... Generally, people think of, you know, money and giving money away and giving money to charity. But think about emotional philanthropy. What is emotional philanthropy? It's basically when you have a richness in awareness, a richness in soft skills, a richness in two-way awareness, where you see other people, not for what your opinion says, but really, and I'm still working on this, trust me, I have a lot of work to do myself to really get to this point of, I'm going to say, 100% authentically living in a philanthropic understanding of things. It's the word philanthropic danced into my life this year, and I really didn't understand the concept of it and the value of it until this year. So I'm really having to work on myself to be sure that, and it's going to take me a few years, and it is, to really understand the power of emotional philanthropy. And that is my goal in 25.
So can I ask you, do you need to be in a business for that emotional philanthropy?
No, you know, emotional philanthropy is when you are generous. And when I say generous, not addicted to generosity, it comes from a place where your presence, your character, your awareness, your life currency, these things are basically netted out into your life, where everybody, the people you meet, they grow themselves from being in your environment. But you are not intentionally going in there to grow people because of your understanding of yourself, your awareness of yourself. And I have, you know, I'm saying this again, I have some way to go with this. We had a conversation this morning about how I can't let certain things go, and I've got to work on this on myself. And I'm not ready yet, I must say, I'm not ready yet. You know, there's part of me that holds grudges. There's part of me that, you know, doesn't let things go when I should, you know, and I put my reasons to it. That's not philanthropic in its truer sense. No. So I'm still growing my shape into this.
I think a lot of, you know, I think anybody is still growing if they're still living, you know, so that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing, they grow after, but, you know, that's another story. But, I think we're all growing. At least you're aware of the fact. At least you're aware of the fact. You're sat there saying, yes, I hold grudges. Yes, it's something I need to work on. I can't let things go sometimes, and I need to work on that. You know, awareness is the first step to changing that, so that's okay. You know, I think one of the best sentences I've ever heard is just to meet people where they're at.
Wow, that's a big one for me. And I do meet people where they're at, but then if I find that I'm meeting them where they're at, they are not meeting themselves where they're at. And, you know, all of a sudden, I become a target because of the inconsistencies of knowing who they are. Or I become that punch bag, emotional punch bag, you know, and... That has been, you know, over the last couple of weeks, I've experienced that in my life. So, you know, does that mean, you know, that I am always been philanthropic? But, you know, here's the thing, listeners,
sorry to interrupt you, love, but, you know, being, I think that word, it just about slips off my tongue, philanthropic, being that in the everyday sense, not in the business sense, isn't about allowing people to, you know, emotionally abuse you, that isn't okay. It's not being, oh, I'm a good person so everybody can walk all over me. That's not being philanthropical, if that's the word, to yourself. And we've got to be that to ourselves before we can be it to others. So that's right. So what you're juggling with at the moment is something that doesn't sit right for you. But it doesn't mean to say that you have to, you know, accept that. But also it's about getting the right balance that can fit you in a way that you can be okay with yourself with whichever course of action you wish to take, even if it's a no course of action. You've got to sit right with yourself. First, everything is self first. You can't be a philanthropic person if you're not that to yourself.
Yeah, and I think when I think about, and think about this, listeners, again, you know, philanthropy, philanthropic, living a philanthropic way of life, what does that truly ask of you? Does it mean that you are always giving? You're always giving to others?
No.
No, I believe, you know, be generous to yourself first.
Absolutely.
Emotionally, I don't just talk about financially. Emotionally, be generous to yourself first. And I guess if I'm...
And mentally, and all of you, be you first. It's all got to be about you first. See, we have been brought up in a society that says that if you put you first, you're self-centered and you're selfish and you're not a nice person. And that's the biggest lie we're told.
Wow.
Because we have to be self-centered, selfish, in order to be able to be in a good spot to then be able to be there for other people. Now, you'll get people that are selfish in that negative sense.
Yeah,
and that's what people, you know, associate with people. When you've got somebody that has got great boundaries and they put themselves first, and but people start saying, oh, they're selfish and they're not a nice person and all of that. Well, that's because they've been programmed by society and parents to think that that's how you have to be. You have to be giving. You have to be, you know, everybody is running on fumes. And they're trying to give away their fumes to people to make other people better. So everybody's living on that.
Because their tank is empty.
Everybody's tank is empty.
Unless you protect your energy.
Right. And that's being selfish. That's being self-centered. That's being centered in yourself. It's actually a positive word. You know, but we're taught that it's negative.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Wow. Wow. Self first.
Self first, always. Because otherwise you're no good to anybody else. How can you be any good to anybody else if you're not first?
I mean, I think if we all took that approach, firstly, there would be a ton of separations and divorces.
Yeah.
If we put ourselves first.
What are you saying, Reese?
No, I want to talk about that. After, you know, when we go into a commercial in a couple of minutes, I want to talk about that. Because I was talking to a divorce coach this week who was talking about the rate of change in the US because of how they think the divorces are going to change. The law in divorce is going to change, yeah. But anyway, I'll come back down in a sec. But yeah, it is. It's, I guess, what I'm thinking here is, you know, when we think about ourselves, I'm losing my train of thought.
That's okay,
here.
Because I've got something. Because we are taught things the opposite way round.
Okay.
Okay. So we're taught that we live outside in. So what I mean by that is that, you know, we live externally. What do people think about us? What can I gain? What can I have? What can I manifest? What haven't I got? Why am I crying? Why am I sad? So it's all, you know, this has made me sad. This has made me. It's all outside in. When actually we have to live inside out. Because living inside first, which means put yourself first.
Yeah.
And what you're being inside is what your external world will show you. It will definitely show you that. So if you're being kindness, you'll get kindness. If you're being compassionate, you'll get compassion. Do you see? So whatever it is you're being, that's what your external world will show you. So you've got to be inside first.
Wow. I wonder how precise that is.
That is precise.
You think?
That is scientific.
Wow.
That is energy.
Let's hold our thought, because I want to talk about that preciseness after we come back after this commercial, listeners. So give us around about 90 seconds. We come back and we're going to dive into the preciseness of being. I mean, come on.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck. Fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Happy days and welcome back, listeners. Yes, you were with Paul Rees and my wonderful other half, Deborah, on UK Health Radio. And we are banging about all kinds of stuff here today. You know, we've gone into self-first, philanthropic. Now I want to touch on the conversation I had with one of my associates, I'd like to say. Mardi, the divorce coach from Texas, although she's Canadian. Said she's like an alien in USA. But she was saying that... Now, we all know, of course, Trump is about to be the main man there. And there's a huge thing that they're going to change the law of divorce in America.
Is that a rumor or is that true?
Well, apparently, they're thinking it's going to happen where you've got to justify your divorce. You've got to have a reason now and you've got to prove it. So, and they think it might come in and launch. She said they're expecting a surge of divorces over the next sort of month or two in the new year before this law comes in.
Hold on, have we gone back to like Henry VIII's time?
Well, apparently it could be where, you know, you have to prove a reason for divorce.
Isn't that irreconcilable?
Oh, you go for it, girl.
Reconcilable differences. not good enough?
Well, you know, here we go. It's like, if you be yourself and you're saying yourself made a mistake, you got married and you shouldn't have married this person, and there's been no, perhaps, I don't know, deceit there or anything else that can prove otherwise, you've got to stay married. Isn't that crazy?
Do you know what I had in a visual in my head? I imagine everybody just leaving America.
Well, you know what? We just, you know, softly, softly bringing that in just because it's something I heard and I wanted to share there. But, you know, let's go into things that you love talking about, Deb, because, you know, you're here. I don't get you on very often. And, you know, I always have a guest every week, but when you come in, everybody says, it's like, whoa, what a deep dive. And loads of that happens. But let's talk about one of the big things that's happening right now, because we are, for the majority, I'm going to say, of the world, this month is a month of receiving.
Yes.
Giving, but receiving.
Yes.
We could say, because traditionally, it's that time of year. Not for everybody, but for some. But then also, receiving is such a delicate emotion.
Yeah.
You know, many people receive seven because they expect it, because they've given. So it's receiving. I've given, so I should have back.
So how much have you actually given?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I kind of get that. But tell me a little more what you mean by
that.
Well,
that means that if you give something to get something in return, you actually haven't given anything.
You've swapped.
Yeah, but it's not even that, is it? It's like you're doing something to get a return. So that's a transaction. That's not a giving.
Do you know, maybe it should be when somebody gives something at this year, Christmas, you don't put your name on it. You don't say who it is from. Everybody should just get something with nothing on. They have no idea who it's from. Because...
Well, like a mass Secret Santa.
Well, here's the thing is that, you know, it's like, to Paul, Merry Christmas, Debs. Maybe you shouldn't put Debs on there.
What did the fairy come in the house and give it to you?
No, I'm coming back to it. It's about if you are receiving, you know, authentically, you don't have to give to receive. So what I mean is, nobody should say they've given a present to someone.
Right.
They should just receive it. It doesn't matter who it's from.
Right.
And you shouldn't have to give thanks.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to go, oh, my word, thank you, Deb. No, no. There shouldn't be a name of who it is of, because that is then authentic giving.
It's authentic.
And it's authentic receiving.
Yes.
Because you can't thank anybody.
But you'll be surprised just how many people are really uncomfortable with receiving. And not just at Christmas.
Yeah.
In fact, Christmas probably allows people to receive more and be comfortable more receiving. Mm-hmm. But so many people are not good at receiving at all. And it doesn't have to be like objects. It can be compliments, you know, and things like that. People are uncomfortable receiving. And that will tell you how uncomfortable you are at receiving will tell you how much self-love needs to still come in. I mean, you're great at receiving.
Oh, I have no issues at all in receiving.
No. What about giving?
I'm good at giving too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally. I love giving. Mm-hmm. I love, you know, yeah, I enjoy giving on all levels.
So which one do you prefer?
Do you know what's even for me?
Right.
There's not a preference of one or the other. I like giving and I like receiving.
See, I prefer giving, which means that, you know, I've got work to do on the receiving part.
Oh, no. I'm going to say they are absolutely equal in both ways.
And that's very healthy, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I have no issues in creating my own receiving either.
No, you don't.
So, you know, maybe we can call it manifesting.
Maybe it's like a shared manifesting thing that you kind of take over.
But you do. It's like when I come home with flowers, you're like, whoa, you know, and it's like, well, they're just flowers, you know, but with all kinds of things. I see it. We're not in balance as a husband and wife in the receiving.
No.
Because I receive more the more you do.
Yeah.
But then, you know...
Don't backtrack that. That's exactly right.
Yes, it's so true. It's so true. Then does that mean I'm selfish?
It could be a bit of both. It could be a bit selfish on your part, but let's use another word, because selfish is all right.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be a little bit taking advantage on your end. But it also could be a lack of appreciation for myself on my end. So it's complicated. None of these things are just one thing. There's layers under all of this. Giving, receiving, all of it. There's tons of layers underneath it all.
Wow.
And it's all complicated. You know, it's like you're this. I don't think we can say we're one way. I don't think you can say, you know, yeah, that we're just... We're this. We always like to put labels on ourselves and say, that's who I am. So many people say that. Oh, I'm outgoing. Some people say, you know, oh, I'm introverted. Oh, I'm... We put so many labels on ourselves and we're more complex than those labels.
Well, you know, also, when we think about the receiving and the giving, there's also, you know, as a parent, a lot of parents... have to keep give and give and give, because that's where the value of their parenting comes from.
Yes. Yeah.
And what happens then? So,
well, then the child then grows up thinking that's love. It's all depending how much of the giving, rather than... See, I always say about children that time equals value. How much time you give a child is how much value they have on themselves.
Wow.
But time in the right way, too. You know, that's a blanket statement, too. You know, so time in the right way.
Yeah. Do you think that this year has been a shift for you in how you deliver your product, how you deliver your work? Do you think you've grown this year as an individual?
Yeah, I really
And
do.
Why is that? What has changed, you feel?
I think every client I get, I grow from. Because what happens is as I'm working with somebody, I get like inspiration as I go,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like I get thoughts that I never had before as I go. As I'm trying to work that person out with them and for them, well, with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, I get ideas that I didn't have before about how that can work. So I grow a lot.
I mean, where does that come from then? It's like, is that our infinite ability to tap into what is, I don't know, thoughts and ideas and wisdom? I mean, is that just being mindful?
No, consciousness. You're tapping into consciousness. You know, and that's a whole other program because consciousness has every single idea, thought, everything that you could absolutely imagine within it. And there's new things all the time, but yet it's infinite. So it's kind of like it's one thing, but then it's many things. It's a bit like, you know, how some people see God or whatever. But so we're tapping into that. So many people have invented things because of what they've dreamt. They've had it in a dream. So where are they getting that from?
You know, I don't know how I am with that because I've never dreamt anything that's come into, you know.
That's because, you know, but some people are. Some people have that mentality and that electromagneticism, if you like, to pick that up.
I mean, I hear it. But, you know, listen, one of my best business partners, John Abbott, will say, I'm going to sleep on that and I'll give you the answer in the morning.
Right.
I'm like, when I sleep on something, I sleep on it and it stays in bed when I get up. That's called the sheets and the quilt and the pillow. I don't get ideas when I sleep.
But you may get ideas in a different way. It doesn't have to be from a dream for you. Like, I get ideas as I'm working with people. That's how it works for me.
Yummy.
Well, there we are then. You know, John might not get that. So he gets it when he's sleeping. You know, so many famous inventors got it in a dream. So it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming from the same source.
So coming back then, you feel you've grown. Is it because it's just a different range of clients? Or do you feel that you have gone into a different range of service, delivery, you know, a different range of problems that you're solving?
Different range of problems, different depths. Also, everybody's individual. So I don't have a cookie cutter program because everybody's different.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working with an individual and all individuals, they may have similar backgrounds, but they're never going to be the same person. Everybody's got their own model of the world. So I'm learning other people's models of the world and then getting inspiration of how to help that person within that model of the world.
Do you find that kind of work, though, you're also bringing in your own judgments from your own life when you are working purely on the hop like that, you know? You see, you know, again, the wisdom and you're very mindful. But if there's no... Because you said something here which made sense to me, you know, that you haven't got a cookie-cutter product. Yeah. I'm like, wow, that's so true. You've not. You've got a name for your product, which is called Fresh Freedom.
Yeah.
But... And you have... You have a delivery where you have a process of each, you have a call and things.
But the first few calls, you know, the first couple of calls are finding out information about that mm-hmm. person. So in that way, it's the same because I always start off finding out.
Yeah.
But no two people are ever the same, of course.
So, that I understand. So is there a framework? Is there a shape to your mind and how you work? I mean, you don't do business. You only do life.
Yeah.
Life strategy.
Yeah.
Although you do dip your toe in, it feels like.
Only from the emotional aspect of their business, mm-hmm. nothing else. Not about the mechanics or anything. Just how they are emotionally within that business that's not serving them.
Let me ask you a question then. What do you do for a living? You didn't go to university. You haven't got a degree, a diploma. And there's a reason for this.
Yeah.
You know, you've read probably into the many hundreds of books.
Yeah.
And you do read extensively. Do you feel anybody could do what you do? That's a big question, eh?
It is a big question, because my first thought was yes, because we're all human beings. But then I have to come back and say, actually, no, I don't think so, because you have to have a level of depth. You have to have an insight. You have to be able to see layers of people. And that seeing of the layers has to come from, I'm not going to say naturally, because there is nothing, no naturally, but that has to come from a certain way of having to live in childhood, a certain conditioning where you can see into the layers of people. So no, I don't think everybody can do what I can do, you know. And that's not in any way, you know, being egotistical or anything. Well, I don't think they can. No,
I mean, I agree. I totally agree. I've not met anybody that can do what you do, for sure.
I mean, there are those out there that will do just a greater job. They're just doing it a different way, of course. But the way I do it, you know, I don't think anybody could just get up and do it, no.
So what do you think is different now? If we look back at you perhaps 3 years ago, and then now as a life strategist, what do you think is different in what you do?
I think what I do is I can go deeper. I feel like I have much more strategies with different people of how to, not cope, but how to change. I feel like I've grown stronger as a person. So my strength comes across more. I'm not being influenced by the person in front of me, if you know what I mean. And I've been, of course, I'm being influenced in how I'm helping them, but I'm not being influenced personally myself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I have that. It's almost like, I mean, I can get really emotional with my clients. You know, I was emotional today with somebody, you know, but it's always in a good way, that emotion. Yeah, yeah. If they do something and they're really pleased with themselves, I could get emotional. But yeah, I feel like I'm stronger as a person. I feel like I've grown a lot, and I feel like my growth spills out into my work, of course. And I feel like the way that I've grown is that I am less, you might not say this because I live with you, but I am less reactive.
I agree, you know, you are less reactive.
Yeah.
I may have come more reactive in the last couple of weeks, but then, you know, I'm going through things myself. But I feel, you know, with myself, I design business for a living, but I also feel that I'm going to say that the years of emotional studying, you know, as a medium, and really the years of understanding awareness is what has shaped my work.
Yeah, but I'd like to say that you definitely think in a way that's very, very unique, Paul. And I'm not saying that because you're my husband, and I'm not saying that for any other reason or agenda. I'm 100% honest. The way that you think, I haven't come across it before.
Wow, that's such a great compliment. Do you know what I mean?
It's the truth, though. It's the truth. And sometimes, you know, you may have had problems moving along in your business as you've grown and grown and grown, because, you know, you're in that mindset that a lot of people aren't, and they don't get you, and they didn't get you. And I feel like you're now coming into your own with people, you know, that can get it.
Well, listen, we're going to dive, I mean, all that sloppiness between us, do you know what I mean? But we can't, we're husband and wife. I'm going to take us into our second commercial. When I come back, we're going to throw out Deb's contact details, because you really want to get hold of Deb here. Also, I want to talk a little about Uvedia and where that's going. I'm going to see you guys in about 90 seconds, do you know what I mean? It's going to happen. Be there!
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Happy days and welcome back in. Yes, it's UK Health Radio with myself, Paul Rees, and my wife, Deborah, absolutely. And let's throw out your contact details. So your email, Deborah, is info@accoladeacademy.com.
Surely.
And Facebook is...
Oh, no, because that's just my personal. I don't know anything on there.
Well, we have an email. We don't have a website. We have nothing else. info@accoladeacademy.com. Can I give you a mobile number out? Can we do that?
Sure, you can.
Yeah, 07842 425967. There it is, man.
You did it.
And you can drop a message to Deb if you want to know anything about the Fresh Freedom Program. Yes, get yourself in order, as they say. And let's come back to, you know, we talked about receiving, mindfulness, being, we touched on divorce, and self first. Philanthropic. We've done all those things so far. What's next, Deb?
What's on the agenda? Well, actually, we didn't really go much into mindfulness.
Well, you know, when mindful, I like to split it, you know. It's like, you know, my mind is full. I don't like my mind being full.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You know, yeah, it doesn't mean that. And that's why I wanted to bring it back up.
Okay, go on then.
So it's not about your mind being full, because to be honest, your mind is full all the time anyway, isn't it?
Well.
Well, when is it not?
Well, I you know, I often say to people, you know, I like to write things down. I don't like to fill my mind full of things I have to remember all the time.
I get that bit, but that's not what we're talking about. Your mind is going all the time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I understand that.
Okay, so your mind is full anyway.
All right, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what mindfulness means is that you are filling it and concentrating on what will serve you, not all the stuff that doesn't serve you.
No, that's massive. That's massive, considering the conversations we've had as husband and wife today. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, but then...
But then what?
Okay, so filling your mind with thoughts that serve you.
No, being purposefully thinking. Noticing. There was one sentence that I always loved. Notice what you notice in life.
Notice what you notice. Now, that isn't that just being aware, though?
No, that's awareness, yes. But mm-hmm. I'm not saying that's mindfulness. But that's a start, isn't it?
Okay.
Firstly, what the blimmin' hell do I think about all day? And what is it I tend to go to? What is my go-tos of thought?
Mine is problem solving.
Yeah.
That's my direction of thought, is solutionizing.
Right. So what you're going to get with that is a ton of problems.
Yes.
Because that's what you're asking for.
So, yeah, that's just like someone who says I'm resilient and the universe will give them hardship all the time.
Because they want to be resilient.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So you're saying that I'm filling my mind full of solutions.
You're filling them full of problems so you can be the solution.
Because the solution makes me feel adequate.
It makes you feel worthy.
Yeah.
When that's a big fat lie. Because you're worthy anyway. You don't need to solve a problem to be worthy.
But then, you know, we're all different shaped as human beings.
No. Listen to what I just said.
Okay.
You are worthy anyway. You don't need to be the guy that solves the problem.
But then I don't have a job.
Why is your life your job? Okay, you can be a solutionizer in your job.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the rest of your life?
But then isn't it the personal part of you makes up the professional part of you?
So if you are always looking for your worth to be about what you've solutionized.
Okay.
Then your whole life is going to be one full big problems.
Basically, my identity becomes my entrepreneur person.
That.
Mm-hmm.
It does. But also, and it has a little. So what we need to do is we need to go, okay, stop looking for problems so you can be the solution, so you can feel good about yourself.
I mean, when I think about that, then I'm thinking, that just leaves too much space for me.
Ah, now what are you going to fill it with?
Well, that with problems.
No. Why in the world would you want to do that?
Because I'm a solutionizer.
Yeah, but no, you're not. That is what you've told yourself you are. And you're very good at it. And you'll get paid for it. And that's great. But it's not who you are.
Wow, then...
Who am I?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That's pretty scary, that is.
Right, who so am now I? Being mindful is for you to say, okay, instead of problems, so I can be the solution and feel good about myself, because that just gives me problems, what am I going to fill my mind with instead?
Wow. Let's put this out to our listeners then. So here's your thing. We're going right back to the beginning of the show, which is, what has this year got out to you? So can we put a little exercise in then, okay? So everybody listening to this right now, you've got to now understand this philosophy that you're saying, which is, who am I? Is that what it was?
What's my mind full of?
Well, okay, so now you're asking yourself, so I know my mind is full of solutionizing because that's the core of who I am.
Get this one.
Well,
this is why we fit. Mine's full of worry.
So your mindfulness is the emotion of worry.
Yeah. I worry about this and that and everybody dying and, you know, all that kind of thing. So that's my go-to. I'm worrying, worrying, worrying. And you're the solutionizer.
Oh, wow. Wow. So think about that then, listeners. Think about, what is your mind full of?
Yeah.
And it'll be one thing, do you think? One really power ingredient.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'd be one thing. I mean, it splits up into loads of other things.
Yeah.
But if I was to say, what is negative that goes on in my head, or, you know, not all the time, but most of the time, if I'm going to be negative, it's going to be a worry about somebody.
Wait, I don't find solutionizing a negative. I find it a positive.
It is a positive, but you've got to have the problems in order to be the solution.
Yeah, but
that's the bit.
Okay, so what we say,
now your life is full of problems.
So we're saying, okay, listeners, so sit down and think about that one ingredient that fills your mind, that effectively we are saying my solutionizer way isn't serving me, even though it's the core of my entrepreneurial business.
Well, what it's
life.
Doing, no, you've put that there, see, what it's doing is it's making you feel good.
Yes.
It's giving you a feel-good factor.
Yes.
And it's giving you that feel-good factor of, this is my worth.
So we're saying, okay, 2025, I'm saying, I am going to stop solutionizing in my personal life.
Yes. Yee.
But how are you going to stop worrying then in your personal
life?
Well,
I have to be mindful of not doing that and having peace and putting peace in my mind instead of worry.
So quickly then, in the next 30 seconds, how does a listener find that one ingredient that they fill in their mind full of?
They have to listen to what's going on in their mind. They have to be the listener first.
Oh, wow.
Be the observer of what you are thinking about.
All the time?
Mostly.
Okay.
Right? Because, get this, we only probably have about 5% new thoughts every day.
Wow.
So we keep going over the same stuff.
Yeah.
In one way or another.
Yeah.
It's like a mixture, but also a ground holder.
And we have to cut it there. We are done. I mean, this has just been such a great show. Loads of golden nuggets. Please go back, re-listen, go back, re-listen, go back and re-listen. And I'm going to catch you next week. Of course, it's been an outstanding show. Don't forget to visit uvita.org. Go there. Everything's happening. And also, info@accoladeacademy.com. Boom! You will get older. Get hold of my wife and you can plough yourself into a Fresh Freedom program. Until this time next week, what do we say, Deb?
Adios, boom.
Bye for now. Emotions are